So one today is Thursday, June 25th, 2026, and this is the week in charts. Obviously, I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. What are we talking about? Well, obviously, current market conditions. I know I say this every week, but I have a lot to say about that. In fact, what I want to do today is I want to do a walkthrough on is the fat lady singing and a few things or of concern there. I'm going to continue with my series on the methodology in action. Not a whole lot of great to show you this week, but there was a discretionary type, using discretion, I should say, and we'll get to that in 1 second. I want to talk a little bit about the Landry 100, and that speculation is alive and well, even though there are some cracks in the overall market. All that'll make a lot of sense in just a minute. There's a disclaimer screen. As you know, you can lose money trading, or as I'll have to sum it up, all predictions are about the future. Been a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. That's still left from Greg Morse. This is all my contact information. If you need to reach me, you can also reach me at dave@davelandry.com. All right, let's talk about the missing piece. As I've said ad nauseum, the missing piece for me was to actually see someone trade and not some sort of cherry-picked, well-chosen trade that worked, and they swept the rest of the ones under the rug. But to actually see somebody trade, and more importantly, see the psychological ups and downs and see them go through a drawdown in money, and then also see them get a little bummed out. And then, as I've said each week, also I was able to see traders over like a short period of time, one in particular that got better over like 6 weeks worth of trading. He'd been trading for probably 20 years. And that was kind of cool to see that there is going to be a progression there. Anyway, so I'm hoping to bring that to you. And everything I do is talking to the young punk version of me from many, many, many years ago, things I wish I knew back then. Anyway, so let's talk about the mystery charts and the methodology in action. Now, I want to talk a little bit about using discretion. Now, if you're new to trading, then you want to be a little bit more mechanical. But as you get a little bit of experience, there are very minor things you could do to improve performance. Now, there's always a trade-off in trading. I guess that's why they call it trading, but simple things like not entering on an opening gap reversal could usually keep you out of trouble. Of course, the next day, if it skyrockets without you, that could be a bit of a bummer. But as long as you can make a decision and live with it, which is one of the secrets to trading, then you'll do just fine. Anyway, MDA had really, really, really nice Landry light to the upside. It pulls back the moving average. Now, I'm showing this as an IPO in one of my feeds and one feed not, but it was new to the NASDAQ, and I think that is had some excitement to it. And IPOs, a lot of times you play the first deep retracement, and it's a good pattern to play. Anyway, there's all the parameters. Entry was here. The stop was down here. And the initial profit target way up here. Now, it gaps higher, but then immediately comes right back in. Now, if we zoom in on that, you can see it a lot better. So the entry was here, 41 and change, but it gapped above the entry and immediately came back in. Now, sometimes it's tricky. Sometimes they gap, rally a little bit, and then come back in. So in a case like that, it's like you've got to make that no or go no or no-go decision, and that could be kind of tough. But in this particular case, it formed the exact high on the open and then imploded. So in a case like this, I think it's fairly cut and dry for applying a little bit of discretion. And so far, no clients have gotten back to me to say that they've taken the trade. Quite a few of you have told me that you avoided the trade or the opening gap. So that's good that some of the things that I preach aren't falling on deaf ears. But anyway, you would take a new entry above that high. Now, this is the former mystery chart, and this is another IPO. And it had a really, really, really good run, as you can see. It didn't quite get down to the 30 EMA, but it did have a nice pullback after that trend. And there's all the parameters right there. By the way, you could find, I just updated them a few days ago, so they should be fairly current. You can also find more current ones on YouTube, youtube.com/Dave Landry, and look for the core trading service playlist. But anyway, entry is here, a stop is down here, the stop is down here, and initial profit target up here. So initially it did rally, I hit the entry, followed through nicely on the first day at least, and now it's kind of been meandering back and forth. And today it was actually gapped nicely higher, but unfortunately has already come back in. It happens. So we have a mystery chart coming in today. You can see nice Landry light to the upside, and then it pulls back to the moving average, also forms a TKO, a trend knockout. There's all the parameters. Again, when I do these presentations, that's where I get them. I go to daylighter.com/archives to see what's going on. Entries here, stop is down here. Initial profit target is up here. So far, it has not triggered. It is rallying today, though, so we'll see what happens and follow up on it. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit of out of both sides of my mouth, but when you're looking at markets, you really have to build the case, okay? You have to look at the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, the good, speculation is still very alive and well based on the Landry 100. This is left over from last week. I've got to take it out. Anyway, the point I was making it was 2 weeks ago, that some of the momentum is beginning to wane, and some of those prior big winners were taken out. So that's what that was there. You could see 1338% AXTI, which was put in last October. And then notice that some of these losers in here were just put in not that long ago. And that's ride your winners and cut your losses short. By the way, that's the beautiful thing about managing a momentum list. And I keep a couple of momentum lists. I keep the Landry 100 as kind of like an official momentum list. And I also keep a momentum list based on old Landry lists, based on which also includes the Landry 100 and whatever stocks that I see in my scans each day. And I go in and clean that up every now and then. But by following and managing, so to speak, that official list of the Landry 100, I'm able to see where the momentum is flowing. Now, biotech, for instance, if you look at the pie charts, which I put up on Substack, you can see that the pie chart for biotech shrunk down quite a bit. And now it's beginning to grow once again, now that biotech is rallying, as you'll see here in a few minutes. Now, one thing that's great about it is it'll really help you to wrap your head around momentum, both good and bad, okay? So surprises tend to happen in the direction of the trend. Also, momentum ends badly. That AXTI, even though it was up 1,300% and change when taken out, I think at one point in time was up over 2,000%. Anyway, if you're following me on X in other places, such as Substack, you'll see that one of my reoccurring themes, and this one actually was up about 20% earlier today, again, is that surprises tend to happen in the direction of the trend. So that reinforces my trend following mantra. And if you look at the changes from yesterday, this ABSI was up 32%, 13% WYY that I just showed. It did some single digit or double digit or near double digit gains on those other ones. Now, real quick, the TFM 10% system, I want to do a brief update on that before I get into is the fat lady singing. So before we get into that, one thing that I'd like to reiterate, especially when the market is not too far away from all-time highs, I don't want to wait until the market is down 50% to start talking about market timing, right? And if you go in and look at older archives and go back to like my Trading Simplified shows that I did a few years back, you'll see that every now and then while the market is making new highs, I'll harp on the importance of market timing. And one thing that a lot of people are sold on, and there's a lot of people that have had pretty impressive careers, you know, they'll go 30 years and just buy and hold, tell the clients to buy and hold. They'll look pretty smart. They'll retire and make a lot of money. Maybe I'm jealous because I've lived through all these bear markets. But anyway, so why worry about market timing? Well, the market doesn't always go up longer term. And that's one of the Wall Street myths. So if you look at this little thing at the bottom here, indicator, whatever you want to call it, that's how far the market is away from its 50-week high. And you can see that this is 50% right here. That was obviously in 2009 when it hit the bottom there, which this market kind of slowly came unglued in 2007. And then we had the bear market, obviously, in 2000, and the market lost about 50% of its value back then. Now, when you take a look at the NASDAQ, it gets a little uglier. It lost 70-something% total But what's kind of interesting is it lost 50%, and you might be thinking, oh, it's on sale, it's half off, right? Well, it lost another 50% after a bit of a rally. So that's pretty ugly. And that's one thing I preach is it's always darkest right before it gets more dark. Now, is the fat lady singing? Now, there are some signs of the time. SPCX, and I'm not going to get a lot of details in that. We'll take a look at a chart, hence the name of the show, Week in Charts. But they did sort of bend the rules with a few things, like getting into the indices early. They did, they kind of manipulated things a little bit pre-market, and I'm not sure of all those details. You can read about them if you want, but they did what they could to maximize the amount, the price of the stock, and get as much money in as possible, a bit of a money grab. Now, I don't see it as a negative. If I took Big Dave Enterprises public, I would want to get as much money as possible too. So kudos for them for figuring all this out. But it was overhyped. It was the largest IPO in history. I don't want to confuse the issue with facts, but a lot of people are arguing that the valuations are absurd. As I've been saying lately, one of the signs of the times is that I tend to be a man on the street type of guy, and man on the street is a microcosm. And one of my friends in the gym is 87 years old, and he recently started day trading. His wife had a medical incident, and now he's home more with her. And so he started day trading, and that's kind of a crazy thing to think about. Another friend in the gym, as I've said a couple of weeks ago, when we had that big tank, when the market tanked on Friday and on a Monday, I said something about the market going down. He's always telling me how his money just comes back. And he didn't even know the market was down, and he tends to kind of follow things. So I thought that was kind of interesting that it wasn't enough to wake him up just yet. Now, getting back to the SpaceX, the pre-IPO price was $135, and it did take off nicely and then implode. Now, IPOs have some interesting characteristics, and I talk a lot about these things in my IPO trading course, but they're also, they try to pump them up as much as possible, obviously, and create a bit of a FOMO. And there's all this excitement going into the IPOs, and one of the common patterns is what I call the fly and the die, and meaning that they take off in all this excitement, and then the reality begins to set in. Now, that's oversimplification, and there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes, but that's the general crux of it. That's what generally happens with the fly and die pattern. Now, sometimes you have the die and die where they just come out and the first day makes the absolute high. And I've actually put some rules going around that to keep you out of a lot of trouble. And another one of my rules is never buy an IPO before at least 1 week of trading. The close on Friday, it comes public on a Monday. The close on Friday would be the earliest that you should ever consider buying an IPO. Now, sometimes you could just buy the new high in a lower price IPO, let's say about $30 or less. And I've bent that rule a little bit over the years. It used to be the $20 rule, now it's the $30 rule. And, you know, low 30s, and you're making that buy a B pattern where it's making that new closing high. That might be something worth going after. Now, a high price one like this, you wouldn't do the buy at B. But just for S&Gs, let's take a look at where that would be, okay? Forget about the pre-market. So day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, okay? So the high would be right here. So the buy at B for this would be 200 and change, whatever it is. Let's just say 205, round numbers. We'd have to close above that for a buy at B pattern. Now, forget about the price for a second. Buy at B, again, is for lower price issues. I find when they come public at these much, much higher prices, it's much harder to make money with the buy at B pattern. I prefer using a secondary pattern where you look for like the first deep retracement. Now, this is 100% retracement, so of at least the where it came public, so that would not be a first deep retracement. Now, again, if you take a look at the TFM 10% system, you'll see that we're within the don't worry, be happy mode, okay? That's when you're within 5% of the 50-week closing high. So far, so good there as far as the market, longer-term market timing. Now, keep in mind, this is a weekly chart. And the main timing that I do with this is I have my daughter's leftover college funds. And even though they're a little younger, obviously, I still want to pull them out of the market because every now and then the market has a 50% or more haircut, as I just showed you. So we're within 5% of 50-week closing high. I'm not going to get too excited about the market when that occurs, but I am paying attention to what happens. There's always something to worry about, okay? Now, once you get 10% or more away from the 50-week closing high, that's when a sell signal could trigger, especially if it's also below the 50-week moving average. In this particular case, 50-week moving average is catching up the price, okay? So now the 10% is your sell level. Now, if the 50 was well below the 10% line, like let's say right here, it would have to close more than 10% and below that moving average. It's just a little bit of a whipsaw filter. And on the upside, as I preach, the whipsaw filter is you need 2 weeks of upside Landry light, meaning that two lows are greater than the moving average. Now, if we take a look at the price chart, and I'm always shocked at how powerful this could be. One of the most powerful things and easiest thing out there is the net price change. And I call that the Rip Van Winkle sleep test. You go to sleep and then you wake up a few weeks later, a few months later or more, and you're like, where was the market before I went to bed? Where's the market now? Okay. So going back about 6 weeks or so, you can go all the way back to the beginning of May. You could see that we really haven't made a whole lot of forward progress in the S&P 500. Now, the other interesting thing is there is I've been calling it minor, but now it's not looking so minor anymore, a bit of a head and shoulders top in the works. Now, I wouldn't short directly off a head and shoulders top, but if you get a bow tie afterwards, then you've got that bigger picture pattern sort of backing you up, okay, kind of like a backstop. The other interesting thing about the head and shoulders is the right shoulder is higher than the left. And the way for me to use some sort of pattern or setup, it has to be conceptually correct and I have to be able to wrap my head around it. And the way I wrap my head around a head and shoulders top, even though it does seem a little obscure or arcane, is that the market makes a high, makes a higher high, so everybody's happy. It sells off, okay, and then it comes back up again. When it comes back up again, a lot of people are thinking, oh, great, it's going back to all-time highs. Maybe I should buy it before it even gets there, okay? And then anybody who's still holding it is thinking, okay, I'm just going to hang on here. Looks like we're going back to all-time highs. Everything is great. And if it goes a little bit higher than that right shoulder, but obviously still below the peak, it tends to trap the most amount of players. And those tend to work better as far as technical analysis. Now, we had lots of Landry light. Again, meeting the lows are greater than the moving average. You could use whatever moving average you want with this for the market timing, like I just said, with the TFM 10% system. I'm using a 50-week simple moving average. I actually wanted the lag in the system. Now, it sounds a little crazy, but with the, you know, people like try to build systems that are forward looking. Well, there is no such thing, right? There's no way you can do that. If you had an indicator that was forward looking or really indicated something, you'd own the freaking world, right? Just mortgage your house, put all your money into this thing and let it run. But indicators are like I often call them, they're illustrators. They show you what's already happened in the market. But that's okay. That's still of use because you can go back and see the Landry light. In this case, I'm using a 30 EMA. The lows are greater than the moving average. So we had a really nice trend for quite some time. Remember, the market went straight down and then it went straight back up. That's the nemesis of a trend follower because we were nice and short back here, like good little trend following morons, and all of a sudden the market went straight back up and it didn't let us in. Okay, so now we have a little structure to work around as opposed to the market going straight up and not letting us in. Anyway, so we're now beginning to chop around quite a bit. A little bit of upside Landry light, no downside Landry light just yet in the piece. And again, like I said a minute ago, the net price change. So now we're kind of in this choppy mode below the prior highs. So now is the time that you might begin to sit on your hands, or certainly you want to definitely be super selective. And then when you do find something that's worthwhile, make sure you're waiting for an entry. Now, another thing to take a look at is, remember, the market was kind of going straight up, and then now we have the net-net price change of nil or even negative, depends on how far you're looking back. Now it's kind of rounding over, okay? Not the end of the world, nor can you see it from here, but again, there's always something to worry about. Now, I've looked into this, and I haven't done a tremendous amount of research with the VIX and longer term market timing or longer term trend following with the VIX. Most of my VIX is when it gets stretched one way or the other. And let's see, we're getting stretched now. Not too stretched now, but when you get stretched one way or the other, the market tends to revert back to mean, and so does the VIX. Okay, it's an inverse relationship. But one of the things I've kind of backed into or discovered by accident is that if volatility is rising, markets tend to be tanking. And if volatility is drying up longer term, markets tend to rally. Now, you can reach an extreme in both and have reversals from that. But as a general statement, and again, I don't think it'll test out. I put some of this research out on X, and somebody came back with it and said, I don't think it'll test out, or it doesn't test out. I'm not trying to create a mechanical system. I'm just trying to create something to help me time the market with consider other things too. The TFM 10% system is sort of a system in and of itself. This is just some analysis that I'm kind of noodling with, and I would encourage you to do the same thing. But you could see, and what I did with the chart here for the proper order, and just in case you're not familiar with the bow ties, 10 simple, 20 exponential, 30 exponential. Proper order is 10 greater than 20, 20 greater than 30 for uptrends. Proper order for downtrend is 10 less than 20, 20 less than 30, okay? So you can see when these moving averages come together and spread out, on a regular chart, I inverted the greens and reds, but that would be green, and then for the downtrends, it would be red. But I inverted them, okay? So you can see where they come together here, it spread out. When the VIX is dropping, that would actually be a positive. And this is simply the count of how many days you've had uptrend proper order or downtrend proper order. But look back here, you can see the volatility was rising, okay, based on the VIX, and the market was falling. So let me just back these out for one more second. So this is the S&P 500, this line chart in the background, okay? This line chart right here that's kind of faint is the VIX, and these are the bow tie moving averages on the VIX, okay? So you can see when the VIX is rising, the market tends to tank. And when the VIX is dropping, the market tends to rise. Now, as I said a second ago, you really can't market time directly off of this, but it does kind of give you maybe a warning flag, a warning signal, so to speak. So you can see right here, you had mostly uptrend proper order. And then, of course, you always want to look at the chart. So you can see the VIX, the moving averages were having a hard time catching up because the VIX was all over the place. And then you can see that the market was all over the place too. Now, I suppose, and I'm just seeing this as I'm looking at it, I suppose if you were looking at this VIX shorter term and say, oh, we got this big old spike here. Yep, the market sold off. And then the VIX, again, if you're looking at the VIX really short term, when it gets stretched, you look to play the other way. So if we get a bit of a sell-off today or over the next few days, that VIX will likely get stretched to the upside. A little bit of a panic will set in. And then we can look for a short-term, very short-term reversion to the mean type of move. What I'm trying to make a case for here is if the volatility of the market is increasing basis the VIX, then the market is likely in trouble in a downtrend, okay, or soon to be downtrend. And if the volatility is drying up, then the market in general tends to rally, okay? Now, again, you can't time directly off of this. Notice that back here, based on the moving averages, proper order again, you could see that volatility was dropping and the market was just kind of all over the place. Okay, it didn't go up. I suppose on a net-net basis, it went higher, but for the most part, it was just kind of chopping sideways. So always look at the market itself. And you can see here the volatility increased, but notice that price didn't drop right away. So something like this, I think, can be an early warning sign. Also, look at the net-net price change, okay? So we're here on the P's, and you go back in time a few months, it's like, aha, we're kind of doing this again, kind of like the top of that roller coaster. And again, volatility increases, market implodes, volatility decreases. Notice that the VIX spiked up here and then begins to implode. And again, shorter term, notice that this spike in the VIX corresponds perfectly with this low in the market, okay? Now, again, if you're looking at the VIX, but it's super stretched, you're not predicting that the market is going to be much higher next week or next year or next month or whatever, but you're looking at it and saying, okay, we're due to reverse. So if you're super oversold and all of a sudden that VIX just goes through the roof, then you know you're due for an intraday reversal. So go in and watch Dave Landry's Methodology in Action playlist, where I talk about a lot of the shorter term timing with the VIX. Now, I no longer follow short term systems mechanically, but I will take a look. Like if the VIX gets really stretched, I might go in and look to take a day trade when the VIX begins to implode and the P's begin to rally. But anyway, increasing volatility tends to mean the market is rolling over, and vice versa. When the volatility begins to dry up, basis the VIX, the market tends to rally. And now we're kind of like in no man's land where the moving averages are meandering back and forth, and the market's starting to get a little kind of questionable, at the least sideways and choppy. Now, one thing I haven't been able to prove to a point where it's of use, using something like historical volatility to time the market. But we all know when volatility increases, historical volatility, the price volatility, that in general, the market tends to be in tank mode. And then when volatility dries up, the market tends to be more complacent. Now, complacency and panic to an extreme, as measured by the VIX, can help you time a short-term move, okay? Now, if we're looking at the Landry light with the VIX, you could see that the VIX was kind of dropping, and you could probably also look at the slope of the moving average too, okay? And you might want to use a simple moving average if you're using the slope, just because as soon as you get one close above the moving average, it'll turn up, and one close below, it'll turn down with exponential moving average. But you can see here, the VIX was generally dropping based on Landry light, okay, mostly green and tiny bit of red. And then here, it was mostly red, and you could see that the market was sort of all over the place, but it did tank. So maybe it could be like an early warning system. It's just something to kind of keep an eye on. Now, it did turn green, and the market chopped around quite a bit. And then when it turned red, it chopped around a bit, and then it eventually went into implosion mode back in March and April. And that's when we started shorting again. Got squeezed out of the shorts, and we haven't really gotten long a lot in that last leg higher. It was very humbling, you know, when you've got an 87-year-old guy in the gym going in day trading because the market's just going straight up. It's doing really well. And we're sitting around waiting for a pullback that never happened for the most part. Anyway, so you could see that VIX in general was imploding and dropping during that spill. And now it's kind of all over the place, okay? And so it's not signaling one way or the other, but it's sort of all over the place. So we need to pay attention. And again, come back to the net-net price movement. Now, if we just go back and take a look at the bow ties in the S&P, proper order, again, 10, 20, 30, as you can see down here, okay? Make sure if you're newer to plotting bow ties, make sure your 10 is a simple and your 20 and 30 exponential, it won't work with exponential moving averages. The 10, you need something that's kind of slower with a little bit of a lag for the other moving averages to move through it. Anyway, green is good as long as you're in uptrend profit water. And you can see the market kind of rolled over a little bit late last year. And then we went back to green mode, but always look at the charts, okay? Even though the moving average is back in uptrend profit water, and the market did work its way a little bit higher, albeit in a choppy fashion, your net price change, again, that's your best friend, okay? You can see that it made new highs, that it backed off, made new highs, backed off, and it never could get to brand new highs. In other words, it lost momentum. Now, notice that it went to yellow, meaning there's no order, or it could be in transition mode from one to the other. And then it went to red. And then, of course, it flipped right back to green. And we had that run. And now we're back kind of in this choppy mode using the profit order in the S&P 500. So in this, I don't have them inverted. So green is good, okay? Meaning that moving average is up to a proper order. Red is bad, meaning that moving average is downtrend profit water. And choppy is when they're yellow, meaning they're somewhere in between, meandering, trying to find their way. Now, we take a look at the MAGs. The MAGs have imploded as of late. And you can see they topped out and then they sold off hard with everything else in March. The euphoria kicked back in. You can see we had the bow tie back here. And it went to uptrend proper order. And then now in more recent times, it has begun to sell off again. Now, one thing that I recently started looking at, and this is StockCharts ACP, and you can plot all 11 of these major S&P groups. And here I'm just looking at 30 EMA. Okay, I'm looking at the daylight on that, Landry Light, I should say. It used to be called daylight. Now it's called Landry Light because there's light between the moving average and the price. So you can see that industrials, utilities, health services, and financials all have quite a bit of upside Landry Light, okay? And there was a while back where I think there was only the XLK had upside Landry Light. So the breadth was a little narrow not that long ago. Now, one thing that's kind of interesting now, you take a look at communications, energy, and consumer discretionary, and these areas are at or near new lows, okay? And also, you have downside Landry Light for the most part in those areas. Now, a lot of other areas, it's kind of meandering back and forth, so a lot of other areas are choppy. So, just based on this one metric, I'd say the breadth is not great, but it's sort of okay. You've got a few areas doing okay, a few areas chopping around, and a few areas in downtrend. Now, one thing that's good, and I don't know if you could run a bull market just on biotech, but biotech's been kind of sideways forever. And recently in the IBB, the XBI, and in genomics, it has begun to take off, and you've got nice upside Landry Light. So we could start seeing some setups here really soon. As I said a second ago, the pie chart for the Landry 100, the biotech was huge. We had like 18 or 19 out of 100 stocks were in biotech. And then it started shrinking quite a bit as that market chopped around. And now with genomics kind of kicked it into gear, and now the rest of biotech's catching up, that pie piece is beginning to expand. Now, metals and mining is not looking so hot. Okay, you can see it's beginning to implode or has been imploding. If you take a look at the gold stocks, now they've been all over the place. But for the most part, they worked their way lower. You did have a little upside Landry Light here. But notice that after this one little pop, again, always look at the chart, it really never made much forward progress above that. And then it went back down again. So you can see mostly red for this entire period. So that gold stocks aren't doing so hot. Now, take a look at software. So software was really taking off, and software was really underperforming for a long time. All of a sudden it began to take off. I think the not to confuse issue with facts, I asked one time, I was in a webinar, I was like, what's going on there? And they explained to me that because of AI, or thanks to AI, we no longer need programmers. Well, I don't know about that, but I could see where you might need fewer programmers. But anyway, this is a bit of a bummer because it's a 100% retracement from that leg higher. So software, unless you're being very selective, I've seen a few software infrastructure stocks that are doing okay, but most of them aren't. All right, any questions on all that? So I think now's the time to pay attention in the market. Now, if you like, we could if there's any individual stocks you want me to take a look at, I'd be happy to do that now. Let's shift gears and take a look at crypto. If there's any individual stocks, let me know. And Re, I can't read your name. It's really little. Ending at 27275. That's a setup for today on a Landry list. So I'm not gonna I usually don't discuss those, obviously, or don't discuss those until they trigger. All right, let's get over to crypto. And admittedly, confession wise, I really haven't been paying a whole lot of attention to crypto lately, just because it really hasn't been, it's been kind of abysmal. But take a look at Bitcoin, and you can see we recently, or today, we took out this little prior low in here. As I often joke, it's often darkest right before it gets more dark. So Bitcoin is not on sale. Look at that, 59,000. As I preach, every asset class will lose half of its value at some point in its lifetime. That's what I was wondering with Mr. Saylor when he was buying up all his Bitcoin for all these years. What's going to happen when it loses half its value? And that's Bitcoin loses half its value fairly often. Stocks lose half of their value fairly often too, but not as often as Bitcoin. But you can see all-time highs of Bitcoin 126, okay, and then they imploded down to 80 something, and then now they're back banging out some new lows right around 59,000. So I would not buy Bitcoin at this juncture, obviously. Ethereum is looking as ugly or uglier. It's lost about 75% of its value, just kind of eyeballing that. Was up around 5K, now it's 1500. So I'm not doing so hot there. Now, as I preach, and I'll just do this real quick, Bitcoin's kind of a bellwether. If Bitcoin's doing well, you want to look at some of these altcoins. And sometimes you can just come in here and buy the ones that are going straight up. Now is not one of those times, although as I preach, I really need to be doing my homework just in case. You know, this one took off. Again, I had been paying attention. Maybe this is something I could have caught. I don't know. Any crypto payers you guys want me to take a look at real quick? Okay, I think we've covered the market fairly well with the, maybe take a look at the P's real quick. Here's the spiders. We'll take a look at. So S&P 500 today's obviously we're not doing so great, right? Doing so hot. You can see we're just kind of chopping around it here, opening gap reversal, trying to get going, but then it came right back in. I think the market's again starting to look a little questionable. Net price change. Pay attention to that. I wouldn't rush out and sell the farm, but you might want to have it appraised. Okay, any questions on anything so far? Okay, well that's all I have for today. Feel free to contact me via email, david@davelennard.com. And obviously, if you're in Facebook, the Facebook group, you could just private message me there, or ideally ask so everybody else could see, so everybody could benefit from your analysis and my two cents on that. Okay, I want to thank everybody for attending. I appreciate taking all of you guys and girls taking time out of your busy schedule. Again, anything unanswered, david@davelennard.com. Remember, have a fantastic weekend. I hope to see all you guys and girls again next Thursday. And of course, may the trend be with you. Thank you.